Well, it is good being back. I'm a little groggy, I'll tell you that, right? I left my house this morning. Actually, I left my mother-in-law's house this morning at 4-something o'clock in the morning. So I'm just, and we just got here about 2 hours ago. I'm getting there. I'm not all there yet. So we'll be good. We'll be good. I was like standing over there though. This is the first time I've ever been closed captioned. So that's kind of cool. I've never seen that. I'm like, how does that work? Is there someone typing that in real fast, or, you know, the magic of technology? So that's kind of cool. I have done, sign language before, and that always distracts me because I'm easily distracted. I'm the bird, or squirrel or whatever, And I was in Arizona, I think, and there was a lady who was doing the sign language there. And if you've never seen what your words look like in sign language, it's kind of fun, And so I'm watching this the whole time, just watching her. And I was talking about that I had just had my first colonoscopy. And since then, I got another one under my belt. But that first one, and I said, I just got back, and I have a colonoscopy. And I look over at the sign language lady, and I'm like, that's exactly what it felt like, too. So you can imagine. It is good being back. It's been a couple years. The last time we were here, it was the year of the flood. Remember that? Some of you were here for that. That was exciting. We still have like a little, every once in a while, I'll pull something out that looks super waterlogged, and it's from that flood. But I hope that this is a super encouraging weekend for you. How many first-time homeschoolers? Some first-time? We got a few. Not tons. I'm so glad you came. I'm glad you all came, because I feel like this is one of those workshops that should really be done, at the beginning of the time at a convention, because sometimes homeschooling conventions can be discouraging. Yeah, all you moms went, The dads are still not even listening. Not because anybody means it to be that way. They don't get together and say, now how can we discourage moms? But sometimes, as you are going to all these workshops and you're listening to the speakers and you're looking at all the stuff, you get this overwhelmed feeling. In fact, I heard a lady, she came up to me, I don't even know where we were, and it was several years ago. And she said, yeah, this is my, I've been coming for years. And she said, I just saw one of my friends who's here for the very first time. And I said, now be careful, because discouragement lurks in every corner. And I thought that was kind of like a downer comment. But, as I thought about it, I thought there's some truth in that. Because, even as we kind of go into this, I like to call it the fog. So there's this fog that hangs over homeschoolers. And it kind of reminds me of a story I read a long time ago. It was in a sports magazine. I don't know what it was. I was a kid when I read it, but it stuck with me. And it was about this lady who was going to swim this large body of water. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the English Channel or the Pacific Ocean. It was big, And nobody does it without knowing they can probably do it, right? You don't just decide, hey, I'm going to try this. You train, you practice, you try to get in the miles. And so the day she begins, it's just a beautiful blue sky day like today. And as she goes into the water and she's swimming, and she's way out there, way, way out there. And she's feeling good, she's feeling strong, when all of a sudden this fog rolls in. That really thick, that kind of fog. She can't see anything. And she's swimming, still on track. And, but after a while, she starts to wonder, because she can't see anything, am I going in the wrong direction? And, she'd stop and tread water and look around and put her head back in the water and swim and stop and tread water and put her head back in the water. And this is before GPS and cell phones. And, as the clouds kind of clouded her vision, doubts began to cloud her mind now. And she started thinking, we should have been here by now. we're heading the wrong direction. I'm going to die. You know, and as it she did, thought those things, her arms began to feel heavy, and her legs felt like lead. And she stopped and treaded water, and she asked the guy in the boat beside her, you know, the little boat that going next to her, and said, are we on target? And he's like, I don't know. I think we are, but I'm not positive. And so a few minutes later, she finally said, we should have been there a long time ago. I'm done. She gets in the boat. And then the story continues, because and this is why I remember it. Because as the story continued, the boat went just for a couple minutes. It parts through the fog, and they're right there by the shore. And I thought the truth was she was right on target. She was going to achieve her goal that she had practiced and she'd worked for. But she believed a lie, and she acted on it, and she didn't get to experience the reward. You know, my fear is that a lot of you moms are in the fog. Homeschooling moms are in the fog. That, you're just convinced you're ruining your children. You know, and as I say that, I know you all feel that way. But it's a lie. And the thing about a lie is that if you believe a lie long enough, what does it become? It becomes the truth, you know. Well, we're going to talk about that. You know, we're going to talk about some of those lies that homeschooling moms believe. And, you know, you're going to, when I say them, you're going to think they sound silly. But there's a lot of power in those. And, you know, you're probably not going to need to take a lot of notes because whenever I speak, I don't have a lot of noteworthy things. And I know you moms can't help yourselves because you're like, this lady right here, she's probably got a half a page of notes. I haven't even said anything yet. And you put my name at the top of the page, didn't you? You did, yeah, of course you did. And the date, because you're a homeschooling mom, you have to. So you don't need to take notes, because you're going to remember these things forever. You know, and if you need a copy, you can get them from this lady right here. she can't stop. She can't stop, I can tell, just by looking at her. But so these are some of the lies that homeschooling moms believe. And then we'll talk about what you can do to kind of combat those lies. So here's the first one. Mom, you believe the lie that everyone's kids are smarter than yours. I don't know why you think that, but you do. You just look around at everybody else's kids and you think, they're all doing amazing things. You know, they're 4 years old and they're reading The Lord of the Rings, you know, and chapter books. And you know, they have timelines all over their house. And they've got projects that they're working on. And you can barely get your kids to change their underwear once a week, you know. And you think your kids are dumb. It's not true. It's a lie, you know. You believe this lie. You believe the lie that everyone's house is cleaner than yours. I don't know why that is, but moms, you do. You look at each other and you go, oh, I bet if I stopped in at her house today, it would be spotlessly clean. And then she thinks that about you, and she thinks that about you, and you all think that about each other. My wife thinks that, and she's a picker-upper. I mean, but when someone pulls in our driveway when our kids were little, she would, like, freak out, like, and call an audible, like, Red 35! And we would all scramble to make it look like no one lives in our house. And I'd try to convince her. I'm like, honey, you know, we got a bunch of kids. They expect there to be some toys around, you know. She didn't believe it. She believed you all keep your houses meticulously clean all the time. In fact, here's how you know you believe that lie. If, say, you're going to have some people come over to your house tomorrow night, tomorrow's Friday, Saturday night, and, you know, for dinner or something, and say you're unkind to everyone in your house from, say, Thursday on, you believe that lie, okay? In fact, I told my wife, I said, I love it when people drop in on us unannounced. And she's like, why? I said, because it gives you less time to be mean to us. you know, but it's a lie. It's a lie. You believe this lie. You believe the lie that everyone fixes better meals than you. More organic meals, you know, more healthier meals. You know, you look at all those posts and all those moms who are doing grinding their own whatever and baking their own whatever and growing their own whatever, and you think, I don't do this. I should be doing this. You know, one mom came up to me and she goes, I totally agree, Todd. She goes, the other day, she said, I was at my kitchen window or at the sink or wherever, listening out the window, and I heard my son talking to a neighbor boy, And at one point, her son asked the boy next door, said, "Hey, would you like to come over to our house for dinner?" And the little boy said, "Sure." And her son said, "Do you like cereal? Because we have cereal for dinner a lot." She was mortified. I thought it was awesome. And I should say, if you love to cook healthy and you love to squish it, stomp it, and squeeze it, and it brings you great joy, that's wonderful. Just keep it to yourself, okay? Don't post it! Okay, here's another lie. You believe the lie, and now usually my wife says, "Todd, you can't say every mom believes all these lies," but I can't because she's not right here right now. But she does, but I believe you all believe this. You believe the lie, ladies, that everyone's marriage is better than yours. I don't know why that is, but you look at one another and you go, "I bet her husband understands. I bet you he is a strong Christian leader and has a family vision for their house. I bet you he's so committed to homeschooling his children." You know, I mean, my wife, she thinks that, and she's married to me, you know? But we'll be sitting in church in the back, you know? And I'll have my arm around my wife, and I remember one time she looks forward, and she sees some guy with his arm around his wife, and she leans over to me, and she goes, "They look so in love." And I said, "I've got my arm around you." And she leaned back, and she goes, "That's different." In fact, one time we got home from church, and she goes, "Did you see how David was stroking Pam's hair during the service?" You know, Pam had real long hair. And she goes, "It just looked so loving and tender, as though he was just cherishing her." And I'm like, "Nope, I didn't see it." But the next week, next Sunday, it was right during the message, and I thought, "Oh, yeah, the hair thing." And it doesn't always come from our hearts, ladies. And I went over to lovingly cherish my wife's hair. And as soon as my fingers touched those little fringe hairs, she goes, "Don't touch my hair!" And I'm thinking, how are we supposed to win this thing? You know, moms, you're tempted to believe the lie that yours is the only marriage that stinks. And the truth is, all our marriages stink from time to time. From time to time. That's just the way it is. That's the truth. Anybody who says otherwise is lying, or they're delusional, or they're not married, But it's a relationship. Real relationships are hard. Don't pretend that they aren't. Okay, you're not even married yet, are you? You're going to do just fine, Jake. Just fine. But it's the truth. Jake's right. That's the thing that troubles me about virtual relationships, because they're easy, but they're not so good, And so, you believe that lie, but it's a lie. We're all in the same boat together. You believe this lie that you're the only one feeling what you're feeling. Even right now, all you moms in this room, you're all laughing, but some of you, lots of you are thinking, "Yeah, but they don't believe him, Todd. I'm the one who really is failing." It's not true. You all feel that way. You are all bombarded by those lies. You're in that fog. Even my sister-in-law is an amazing homeschooler. She's a get-her-done homeschooler. I mean, she probably works harder than this part of the room together. I mean, she's just always homeschooling. She's working in the evenings and on vacation, summer vacation, she takes 45 minutes, and then she just jumps right back into it, And I heard years back that she was thinking about not homeschooling. And I said to her, "Dawn, you're thinking about not homeschooling next year?" And she whirled on me, and she stuck her finger in my face. And she's got kind of a crooked finger, so she stuck her crooked finger in my face. And she goes, "I feel like I have wasted the last 15 years of my life. I feel like my kids would be better off if anyone were teaching them but me." Do you know why she said that? She was in the fog. She was in the fog. Now I should say that these are lies primarily that moms believe. Dads usually don't believe these lies. In fact, if dads believe a lie, it's usually the lie that they're better than they really are. You know what I mean. Can I get an amen, Jake? Yeah, he's a little quiet on that one, isn't he? You know, but it's true. You husbands and wives, you know, you're getting ready for some event, maybe to come here, going out to dinner, and ladies, you spend an hour getting ready, you look in the mirror and you go, how could anybody like you? You're so ugly. You know, husbands, you know, are standing in front of that same mirror, 50 pounds overweight in their rattiest underwear, and they go, you still got it. So we're delusional. But dads, you have a role to play in this. Now, we're going to talk now about the things we could do to combat these lies. And by things, I don't mean things. I mean, don't you get tired of doing more things? I mean, it just feels like everybody's offering another thing for you to do, another thing to add to your curriculum, a thing to add in your disciplining chore charts, all that. I'm not talking about things. I'm talking about just what you believe. You know, and even before we get that, how about this is just fun. We'll use it here in just a few minutes. But I always like to hear why you homeschool your kids. So I'm just going to ask, just stick your hand up, I'll point at you. Why do you homeschool your kids? Good thing I came. That's why we came, Todd, for you to tell us. Relationship. Meeting the needs of a unique learner. I like that. Biblical worldview. Flexibility. To be their primary influence. Anybody else? You would miss them. You do homeschool, right? I'm kidding. All those, yes, you would miss them. You would miss not just them, you'd miss everything. You know, all those things. We're going to use those in a little bit. But now here's what you can do to combat the lies. And here's the very first thing. Again, you're not going to need to write it down. It's so simple. You'll remember forever. This is it. Just be real. That's it. Now, when I say the word real, what does that mean to you? This like word association. Authentic. Genuine. Honest. Huh? Imperfect. Vulnerable. All those things, right? And it's easy to be honest, open, vulnerable, imperfect when everything's going good. You know, when your house is clean and you're up on top of your curriculum, your kids are obedient. I know some of you don't know what that is, but that's okay. But it's not so easy to be real when your voice is hoarse, not because you have a cold, but because you've been hollering at your kids all morning. But that's when you need to be real. You know, but we don't like being real. If you think about it, the very first homeschoolers, Adam and Eve, you know, as soon as they blew it, as soon as they sinned, what did they do? They hid and they covered up, right? Why do you think they did that? That's what the Bible says, they were ashamed. If I could be so bold as to think what they were thinking or say what they were thinking, I think they thought this: if God knew what I was like on the inside, maybe he wouldn't like me anymore. So they tried to cover it up. They tried to hide. Now God loved them just as much, and he made a way for them to be restored. I think we've been hiding for the very same reason ever since then. Have you ever noticed, like when you've gone to the mall or a big place and you see a group of teenage boys, have you ever noticed how they all look alike? I mean, not like all teenagers in general, but this group. If one of them has a hat cocked to the side, they all have a hat. If one of them has a certain style of jeans, they're all wearing the same kind of jeans. If they have a certain shoe, I don't think they're doing that to be cool. I think they're hiding. If my friends knew what I was like on the inside, maybe they wouldn't like me anymore. Teenage girls do the same thing. But there's a group that does it worse than teenage boys and girls. Would you like to guess who they are? Homeschooling moms. After all, you know, you see the posts on social media, and you read the articles, and they're amazing families, you know, and how some mom has pictures of her amazing kids, you know, all 12 of them, and they all play the harp, you know. And you look at those pictures, and the mom writes an article how she's never raised her voice in her homeschool, how she has a spirit-filled homeschool. And then a dad writes an article how he trained his own 4-year-old son to own his own house debt-free. And you look at those pictures and you look at them and read those things, and then you look at your family and go, I can't let anybody see this. And then you play this I've got it all together game. Now, when you play that game, what does it feel like? Fake. Feels terrible, doesn't it? You know? It feels like you've got this huge weight on your back that you carry every day that nobody else knows about. And you try to keep people from knowing about it, but you kind of want them to know about it. You know, I know my wife and I, we have some friends who live in overseas, and they lived in a super stressful situation, super stressful. And they had been gone for several years. When they came home, the wife called up my wife and said, "Hey, Debbie, can I talk to you?" My wife's a super real person. And my wife said, "Sure, come on over." And as they were talking, you know, it was chit-chat at first, then it went serious. And the lady said, now I should tell you about the lady. The lady would be one of those ladies that you would go, wow, now that is a Proverbs 31 woman. I mean, she just talks about, her speech is filled with scripture. She talks about loving God and sharing the gospel and trusting Jesus and all that. And she said, you know, I was having my quiet time, she said, and my little daughter came in and started pestering me. Mommy, 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 I need this. And she was like 2 or 3. And she's like, no, mommy's meeting with God. You need to go away. But the little girl wouldn't go away. She's like a pit bull. She just, you know, and would not let go. And it was escalating. And she was knocking things over and ripped a page in her Bible. And it just got worse and worse and worse. Finally, the mom, she said to my wife, she goes, I was so frustrated. I just grabbed her by her little arm and I pulled or pushed. I can't remember the details. She said, and I broke her wrist. And then she said this. She said, I haven't told anyone that in 2 years except you right now. For 2 years, what do you think that mom felt? Do you think she heard whispers? What kind of mother are you? What would people think if they knew the real you? As soon as she told my wife, what did it feel like? Not like that. I've been moving up to that point, and I was ruined right then. In conclusion, it was so poignant. I had them. She felt like this. I'm waiting for the ring again. Was it embarrassing? Yes. Was it vulnerable? Yes. Did it feel terrible? Yes. Did it feel great? Yes, because that's a byproduct of being real. I'm telling you, Mom, some of you are playing this game, this I've got it all together game. And you know what? When we play that, everyone loses. No one wins. And you're miserable. I am telling you to be real. And that's just a byproduct. But here's the power. In James chapter 5, it talks about praying for one another, and it says, in order that, or so that, you may be healed. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of you moms in here need healing? You know? How many of you have a child that you do this with every day that needs healing? How many of you have a husband that you feel a million miles away that needs healing? How many of you have a curriculum that needs healing? Or a math program that just needs something cast out of it, you know? All of us, right? I'm telling you, no healing will take place if nobody prays. And nobody's going to pray if nobody knows. And nobody's going to know unless you tell them, you know? Because don't you imagine, I'm looking at your name, Brittany. Don't you just imagine if Brittany stood up and, maybe we'll just have her do that. Stand up and tell us all the terrible things in your life right now. We won't do that. That wouldn't be very fun for Brittany. It would be a lot of fun for us. Not very fun. But don't you just suppose if she stood up and she said, hey, you know, I just want to, would you pray because I just don't have any joy in homeschooling right now. You know, I just feel like I'm just tired of my kids. Are these your kids? Okay, that's good. I'm just tired of my kids. You know, I'm tired of it all. Don't you just suppose that if we were to pray and ask God to give her joy and to like her kids again, that he would? I believe it because he promises. In order that, so that you may be healed. Why is that not happening? Because we're not being real. We're playing the game. And I'll tell you what, ladies, you need to be able to be real with your husbands. Husbands, you need to allow your wife to be real with you. Because I found out that my wife can't always be real with me. In fact, one time I heard her talking on the phone. She was talking to her sister or friend, and she was telling her all these things. And after she got off, I said, I didn't know you felt that way. She goes, well, I can't tell you what I'm feeling, Todd. And I'm like, what? You can tell me anything. We're one, you know. You can tell me anything. She goes, you always want to tell me why I'm wrong for feeling what I'm feeling, why I shouldn't be feeling what I'm feeling. I'm like, I do not do that. She goes, yes, you do. You do it all the time. And I'm like, I do not, honey. Just tell me. She goes, I'm not going to. I said, come on. She goes, no. I said, please. And she said, finally, she's like, fine. She goes, it just feels like I have no friends and that I'm all alone. And I'm like, well, that's where you're wrong right there. You got lots of friends. She does not thank me afterwards. Oh, thank you, Todd. I appreciate the list. No. You know, husbands, your wife just wants to be able to be real with you without freaking out, you freaking out. You know, when she says to you, well, I don't like our kids, does it mean she doesn't like your kids? It might, actually. But it doesn't last. It just means she's frustrated when she says to you, well, I don't want to homeschool. You know what she wants from you? To say, you can do it, honey. I know you can. Not to say, well, let's go get them on the bus. You know, she don't want that. When she says, well, I don't want to be married anymore, she wants you to say, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for us. You know? So she needs to be able to be real with you, but she needs somebody else. Brittany needs a partner that she can be real with. You know, and I remember I said that to a group one time, and later this lady came up to me and she goes, you know, Todd, you told us to get a real partner. And I was thinking, who could be my real partner? And she said, as I was thinking, the perfect homeschooling mom asked me to be her real partner. And she goes, and I thought, great. She said, we're going to have nothing in common, you know. I'm going to have to tell her how terrible I am. And the worst thing she's ever going to be able to confess is how, like, one time she ate processed sugar, you know. And I said, how did it go? And she beams this huge smile. And she goes, I found out she's just as bad as I am. And then I said this, because I thought I knew how it would play out. I said, so, did that make you think less of her? And she screws up her face and she goes, well, no. It made me think more of her. And I thought, isn't that interesting? We have been duped, I believe, by the enemy into believing that if people know the real us, they'll think less of us. When the truth is, when they know the real us, with all the struggles, with all the ugliness, somehow they think more of us. You know, but again, that's another byproduct. The power is people pray and they change. So I want you to be real. Now, for some of you, you've been playing this game for too long. You know, all your posts are perfect. All your little comments are perfect. Your homeschool looks perfect. And I know you don't feel good about it. You know, and I had a mom who texted me and she goes, Todd, she said, I'm one of those perfect homeschooling moms and I'm miserable. She said, so I decided to write an email to all my friends. And I wish I had it. She gave it to me, but I deleted it somehow. But it was basically like this. And she wrote, dear friends, you think I've got it all together? I don't. You know, it's 10:30 in the morning. We haven't had breakfast. We haven't done anything. I just saw a kid run by with a bag of Doritos, you know. And we're still in our pajamas or in the clothes from the night before or the night before that, you know. And it was this downward spiral of ugliness. And then the very last line was this. She goes, right now I'm looking out my kitchen window and I can see my 5-year-old outside urinating on a rock. Now, when her friends read that, what didn't they think? They didn't go, ooh, how terrible. They didn't think that. What do you think they thought instead? Yes! And I bet her friendships have never been the same. I'm telling you, moms, just be real. Just be real. In fact, can I challenge you? The next social media post you put on something, don't do the be real thing, because that's not even a real thing. You be real on that post. So if your house is a disaster, take a picture of that. which is probably most of our houses right now. If your garage is embarrassing, take a picture of that. If you say, we haven't done math in a really, really long time, post that. And I will tell you, people will approach you in a way you have not been approached before. You know, so you need to be real, and then you need to allow others. Oh, and I should say, because I'm even thinking, I wrote a book, and I'm going to encourage you to all go get it at our table. I don't even know where to tell you that table is, because it's like a maze out there. I'll leave breadcrumbs out there leading to our table. But make sure you get this book, Lies Homeschooling Moms Believe. We sell it for $9.99, which is cheaper than 10. And it's a marketing thing. You're like, wow, that sounds so cheap. Which I think won't even buy you a can of pop down in the restaurant. And if you're out of, by the end of your time, if you're out of $9, you don't have $9.99, we'll make sure you get it anyway, you know, for a dollar and a button or whatever, you know. But we believe you need this. Dads, make sure your wife gets it. Get it for her, okay? What was I going to say about that? Oh, but I'm thinking about adding another chapter to it, to Lies Homeschooling Moms Tell. Because we do it all the time. Now, we don't do it like, oh, I'm going to lie to you. But we just share the good stuff. In fact, you know, when you share that good stuff, when you go, oh, look at my amazing homeschool room that Joanna Gaines designed, you know what that does to everybody else who reads it? It's like a little drop of poison. But when you're real, it's like refreshment. So if you have something good to say, don't say it on social media. If you have something terrible to report, post away. Post away. Okay, so be real. Number two, allow others to be real with you. You know when that lady told my wife that she broke her daughter's wrist, you know what my wife didn't say? My wife didn't go, wow, you broke your daughter's wrist? Well, you know, you could go to jail for that. She didn't say that. What do you think she said instead? I'm sorry. You know, there were times I've grabbed kids. I could have broken bones. Times I wanted to break them all. You know? And again, that friendship opened up. You know, but sometimes we feel like, I don't know what we feel, but we don't know how to do it. You know, sometimes my wife will be talking to a homeschooler, and when we travel around, and by the way, my last workshop, we're going to be talking about RVing. RVing, the ultimate family or the homeschool tool or whatever the title is. But we've spent years, 20 years really traveling around in an RV. And my kids, we don't do like homeschool in the RV because it's hard to when you're bouncing down the road to right and they're distracted. But they've seen everything. They've been everywhere. They interact with people like you, and they've seen, you know, all the Civil War battlefields, Revolutionary War battlefields, monuments, all those things. I think it's our best homeschool. But I remember one time my wife was talking to a friend, and as they got to that question, so how's school going? My wife told her just what I told you. On the other end was this. Silence. What does that silence do to the person who just told you something? It just reinforces the lie she already believes. Oh, you're right. I am failing. Thanks for the reminder. What should you say instead? Sounds like you're having a great time. That's all. You know, we don't need the homeschool Gestapo checking on each other. You know, why? You know, or testing our kids or wondering if we've covered enough. We don't need that. And moms or mother-in-laws, if you have a daughter who or daughter-in-law who homeschools, sometimes you can be the discourager without meaning to be. Because I know every once in a while when our kids were little, you know, my mother-in-law or my mom would call, and we always hated it when the kids would answer the phone. Because they'd go, hi, and she'd go, hi, kids, how's school going? And my kids would go, we haven't done school today. What are you guys doing? Oh, we're just watching videos. Can I talk to your mom? We don't know where she is. When you finally get on the mom on the line, you don't need to go, whoa, is there a problem over there? You could do school a little bit later, you know? We've taken that verse to encourage one another to love and good works. We've taken it to say discourage one another to love and good works, and it doesn't work. What should you say instead? Sounds like you're having a great time. That's all. So you need to allow others, you need to be real, allow others to be real with you. And then you need to know what is not real. All those posts that you see, even when they're your best friend and you think, oh, look at the fun they had. Look what they learned. Oh, they went to the mountains or went to a pumpkin patch. And it doesn't feel like yours because yours is just chaos. Yours is just ugliness, you know. And you think, oh, here's what you need to say. From now on, what you're going to say, and you got to say it out loud because, you know, the devil can't read your mind. We don't know if we can read your mind or not, but we're going to say it. So you say out loud, that's not real, okay? You just got to say it out loud. Let's practice it all together. 1, 2, 3. Perfect. You know, because those families the friends that you have and the ones you don't know, they are real. They're just like yours. But that little snapshot, that little post is just a microsecond of not realness. You know, they're just like you. They're just like you. I remember we took one of those pictures. We were at a convention, and it was at the end of the convention. We were loading up our trailer, and we were exhausted. We were tired. We were hot, and we're trying to find somewhere to eat, and I'm barking at my kids, and my wife, she's not liking me very much, and I'm good with that because I wasn't liking her very much, and it was just ugly, you know, and we finally kind of land on this, some steps on a landing, and this guy, this is before we had cell phones, I had a camera sitting on my shoulder, and he goes, some random guy goes, hey, would you like us to take your picture? And I wanted to go, do we look like we want you to take our picture? But I didn't say that. I said, sure, that would be great. He took the camera, and he said, say cheese, and we went cheese, and when he went, like the planets aligned. And the sun just came across the terracotta tiles and lit on our heads. And the palm trees were swaying in unison. The fountains were going up. The birds were singing. The flowers were singing. And then he gave us back the camera, and we went back to being mean to each other. When I got home, I was looking through these pictures, and I got to that one picture, and I said, wow, this is a great picture. Maybe the best picture our family's ever taken. And my wife goes, really, which one? And I show her, and she goes, I hate that picture. And I'm like, why? She goes, because I remember what we were like. And I said, that's exactly why I like it. Because it serves as a reminder to me that what you see is not real. You know, you're going to see some of those things out here in this hallway. You know, you're going to see these amazing families that are just like yours. And I have people who come up, moms come up to me and say, that's not true, Todd. I know some families that do have it all together there. And you know what the Greek word for that is? Baloney. It's not true. They're just like yours. They're just like yours. You know, and even this Sunday, when you go to church and you see, there's this one family that sits right up here, you know, I mean, they got a bunch of kids, and like the 4-year-old is taking notes during the message. Stand up right in the middle of the service and go, that's not real. You are going to feel so much better once they escort you from the building. So be real. You know, the lies are still going to be there, but just be real in the midst of the lies. You know, and somehow then the fog parts, you know. And then there are some truths that you need to believe, but I don't have the time to tell you them now. So we'll have to do that again another year. Until then, hang in there. No. But you just keep encouraging each other. Encouraging each other. You know, in fact, we've got some greeting cards, some homeschool greeting cards back at our table that have, you know, a cartoon on one side. On the other side, it says things like, don't grow weary, you can do it. I think you have great kids. Who wouldn't kill to have someone else send them a card that said, I think you have great kids? Because you believe the lie that you don't. And it's a lie. You know, and dads, you have a huge role to play in this. Because you're the ones who need to remind your wife of the truth, you know? And just some, so dads, we're going to practice right here. So when your wife, you know, she's pretty calm right now, but when she walks back out the doors, guess what comes in? The fog rolls back out, or in, it rolls. And you're going to be able to tell because her voice is going to start sounding funny. Like this. She'll start going, I don't know. What do you think I should do? I feel like I should do this. This lady said that I just listened to that I need to do this, but I don't know if I should do that. Maybe I should. I don't know. When she does that, you just look her right in the eyes and you go, boo. Okay? Men, I want you to practice it with me. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Sound like a monk choir. That was pretty good. Ladies, when you hear that, you'll know you're in the fog and the lies are coming at you. Only the truth and only the truth, you know? But with that, you need to get your husbands involved in this homeschooling thing because they're a huge player in keeping you from believing the lies. And here's how this is. We're going to talk a little. Actually, I'm not even going to tell because we're going to talk about that tomorrow and how to be a great wife even though you homeschool. And again, that's worth the price of admission because if you get that part right, you get homeschooling as a bonus. But you need your husband's involvement, you know. And so some little side notes. Here's what I would do. This is not, you don't need to write these down. Unless this lady already has, even before I said it. Also, outside of the lies, you need to take it to the end. Homeschooling. Take it to the end. I know some of you are playing this game like we played it. Like, oh, people would ask us, you know, we'd be at Christmas and that one aunt would always ask us, how long are you going to homeschool? You're certainly not going to do it in high school, are you? Because you wouldn't want to do it in high school because, you know. And we just kept hoping that aunt would die, you know, before we got to high school. She didn't. You know, or we'd say things like, oh, we're just taking a year at a time. We're just taking it a year at a time. You know, in fact, in our little homeschool plan, and my wife, it was like we had a little escape hatch on our plan. And my wife always kept her eye on it, you know, kind of like, because we said, if it got too hard, you know, we'll put him in school. And so, honestly, about every third day, it got too hard. And she's like, Todd, you said we could put kids, go get on the bus. Here we go. And I'd talk her out of it, and I'd say, you could do it, honey. And, you know, and, oh, you know, and then she'd be okay for about 3 days. And then it'd come again, like, I don't know, you know, you said, Todd, if it got too hard, we could put him in school. And after some prayer and some, I decided to nail up the escape hatch. And I told my wife, I said, honey, we're taking it to the end. You know, we graduate him or we kill him, but we're going to make it to the end. So far, we haven't killed any of them, and we've graduated a lot of them. But I'll tell you, that made a huge difference in our homeschool. Because now, you know what? The hard days still come about every third or fourth day. But now there's no escape hatch, and you just keep on going. You know, husbands, I've had many wives come up to me and say, hey, would you tell our husbands that we want them to close the escape hatch? So husbands, do that. And then do this. This is from Todd, not from God, but take a summer break. Now, I know some of you can feel the air being sucked from your lungs right now because you're like, yeah, but what? But should we do some light math so they don't forget everything? No, don't. Well, what if they do forget everything? Who cares? You're going to pick it back up next fall. But here's the deal. And I know some of you will say, yeah, but we are year-rounders. We take breaks all year round. I'm not sure that's true. I'm not sure you take enough break. I think you need a break where you can enjoy your children as your children, not your students, and your children can enjoy you as their mom, you know. So, again, dads, take the lead in that, okay? Okay, I'm out of time. Just a little bit of a commercial before I let you go. Again, I mentioned the book Lies Homeschooling Moms Believe. Also, this book right here, this is a daily encouragement in the stuff we've talked about. It's called 365 Day Homeschool Mom. It's not a devotional. It just has stuff every single day. You read a page. It's super, super encouraging. We've got it back at our booth. I don't know where we are. We're somewhere out in the kind of the atrium behind a restaurant, behind the bar, or behind there. yeah, I don't know. Good luck. And then these. I'm super excited about these, and I brought some with me. We have a part of our ministry is called the Smiling Homeschooler. Maybe you've heard of it. We send out a weekly email to lots of moms. We'd love you to be on the list. You can sign up online at thesmilinghomeschooler.com. We have a personality test. I'll talk more about that. We're super excited about that, to see which personality, homeschool personality, whether you're a falcon, a swan, a sandpiper, or a owl. Boom. Who said that? You are an owl, just because you said that. But we're really excited about this. This is brand new for us. Is we're calling a Spin for Smiles game, because we know some of you don't know how to put smiles into your home, into your homeschool, unless someone tells you how. This is it. This is a little spinner game. You're just going to do it once a week, and you have one of the kids do it for the whole family, or for for your whole school. So it says that one of these that lands on the space, stay in your PJs all day. Another one, play the game of your choice. Watch a movie for school. Stop for lunch 30 minutes early. Build a puzzle together. Read a good book out loud. Invite a friend over. And then there's this little tiny slot that says, no school today. And I'm telling you, moms, if right now you went, you need to buy this, okay? I'm just telling you, you need to buy it. Just make your, I've had moms at the, you know, we've only offered it for a few, really about a month and a half. And the moms will come up and they'll pick it up and put it down and then walk away. And then they come back and they pick it up and they put it down and walk away. And they'll do that like over the course of the whole weekend. And finally, they pick it up and they buy it. You know, because you need a tool like that to help you do what really matters. You can find us on the web, The Smiling Homeschooler. Dads, we have The Family Man. You can find us at familymanweb.com. We've got some podcasts, The Smiling Homeschooler, or The Family Man Show. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts at. But let me just tell you, you're doing an awesome job. You're doing an awesome job. You know, I was talking to, and I'll close on this. I had a mom. I was speaking at their little event, and right before we had pizza for dinner, and she said, you know, she goes, her kids were grown, and she said, I have made so many mistakes in my parenting, so many things I wish I could go back and redo. She said, the one mistake I don't regret, or the one thing we did that I do not regret, was choosing to home educate my children. I thought that's a pretty bold statement, you know, to say the one thing I did right was choosing to home educate our children. I would say the same. It is the best. And I know some of you are here, you know, or on the edge right now, and you're like thinking, you know, if God doesn't speak to me verbally during this weekend, I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, listen real closely. Keep homeschooling. That was God speaking through me right then. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we've had to laugh and to talk and to acknowledge that we're all in the same boat together. And Father, we know these lies are bad because they come from the father of lies. And we thank you that when you talked about your yoke and your burden, you said it was easy and it was light. It doesn't sound like homeschooling. I pray that you would forgive us for maybe making it harder, for trying to be something that no one can achieve. I pray that we would just be about the business of training our children, and that we would be real with one another. We'd know what is not real, and that we would allow others to be real with us. We thank you that you know us and you love us. And we just pray for a great weekend. I pray a blessing upon the organization, that you would speak through the speakers and the vendors, and that it would just be a glorious weekend as we raise up another group to homeschool their children. And we pray all this in your name, and all the homeschooling moms and homeschooling dads said, amen, amen. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.